Hello, this is Tom Scott with the Ford County Chronicle for Wednesday, March 25th, 2026. We begin on the front page. Big story, former Paxton Buckley Lota High School teacher Paul Muser, and that's spelt M-U-S-E-R. I hope I'm pronouncing it right. Ex-teacher, Hall of Fame coach, jailed. Charges of grooming, attempted sexual assault of a minor, filed. Paxton. Felony charges of attempted criminal sexual assault of a minor and grooming have been filed in Ford County Circuit Court against Paul L. Muser, a former Paxton Buckley Lota High School driver's education and PE instructor and acclaimed former high school basketball coach in Oklahoma, where he was arrested last week on a warrant. The 72-year-old Muser, who listed an address in Buckley, was charged by Ford County State's Attorney Andrew Killian with two counts of attempted criminal sexual assault, a Class 2 felony, one count of grooming, a Class 4 felony, on Sunday, March 15th, according to court records. Muser was arrested on a Ford County warrant early the next day in Oklahoma and booked at 1:22 a.m. into the Oklahoma County Jail, where he was being held without bond, according to online booking records. Later Monday, March 16th, defense attorney Lance Cagle of Paxton entered his appearance to represent Muser and presented a plea of not guilty to all counts on his behalf. Muser was transferred to the Ford County Jail on Friday, March 20th, ahead of a detention hearing set for Tuesday, March 24th. According to charging documents provided by Circuit Clerk Casey Schwartz, the sexual assault charges allege that Muser invited a child to his home last Christmas Eve, intending to commit a sexual act with the child. The grooming charge alleges that Muser, between January 24, 2024, and December 24, 2025, tried to lure the child with snacks and money, and discussed things of a sexual nature, and exchanged emails with the child outside of school using his personal email account, including to invite the child to his home at a time he would be there alone. The attempted sexual assault charges involve a victim between ages 13 and 17, the court record showed. If convicted, Muser would face a sentence ranging from probation to up to 7 years in prison for each Class 2 felony, along with a term ranging from probation to up to 3 years in prison for the Class 4 felony. In an email, Killian had no further comment on the case. Because this is a pending criminal case, the state's attorney's office must limit its public statement to the filing of charges and the procedural status of the matter, Killian wrote. Further, the office reminds the public that all individuals charged with criminal offenses are presumed innocent unless they are proven guilty in a court of law. In a letter shared Wednesday, March 18th, with PBL families and staff, John Kilgore, the school district's interim superintendent, said Muser was placed on administrative leave on Sunday, March 8th. Pending a criminal investigation by Ford County's authorities into alleged inappropriate communications with a minor. Following his placement on leave, Mr. Muser submitted his resignation to the Board of Education, which accepted it at its regular March 11, 2026 meeting. Kilgore said in the letter, which he provided to the Chronicle, "We have since learned that Mr. Muser has been arrested and charged with serious offenses, including allegations related to attempted sexual misconduct with a minor. We will continue to cooperate fully with the Ford County authorities, as we are supportive of their efforts to ensure the continued safety and well-being of students. We recognize this news is deeply troubling, particularly given Mr. Muser's presence in our community. Our school counselors are available to support any students who need assistance processing these developments." The Chronicle obtained Muser's March 11th resignation via a Freedom of Information Act request. It said, After careful consideration, I hereby offer my irrevocable notice of resignation for the purpose of retirement from my position with the PBL School District, effective April 3, 2026, with the understanding that my health insurance benefits be continued through the end of that month, and that all deferred annualized pay be made to me to make me whole for any salary owed. In providing the resignation letter to the Chronicle, Kilgore noted, as a point of clarification in the letter, his final paid day will be April 3rd, because most instructional employees are contracted 180 days during the school year, but their salary is typically annualized over the annual year. The district must make these employees whole for the difference of what they are owed for the remaining spread out total. In the end, they are paid for just the days they were employed. The Chronicle also requested documents related to any complaints made against Muser during the course of his employment and any other written correspondence regarding those complaints. But Kilgore said in response that there were no other documents beside the resignation letter meeting your request. Muser was inducted into the PBL Alumni Hall of Fame in September 2024, not long after returning to his native Paxton to teach at PBL High School, following a career as an educator, athletic director, and accomplished head boys basketball coach in Oklahoma. In a statement about his induction, school district officials wrote that Muser made a positive impact on thousands of students and hundreds of athletes and has come full circle back to his roots at PBL. Muser, a 2012 inductee of the Oklahoma Basketball Coaches Hall of Fame and a 2015 inductee of the Oklahoma Coaches Association Hall of Fame, won four state boys basketball championships during his coaching career. In 1982, 1986, 1989, and 1991, and compiled over 600 wins over his 37-year coaching career. Muser was named Oklahoma Basketball Coaches Association Coach of the Year in 1986 and 1989, Tulsa World Coach of the Year in 1989, Daily Oklahoma Coach of the Year in 1986, and an Oklahoma All-State Coach in 1986. His teams were academic state champions in boys basketball three times as well, in 2012, 2015, and 2016. In all, Muser coached 13 teams that made the state tournament and produced 12 all-state players, including two Oklahoma Players of the Year. Muser has also worked for more than 40 years in education, including three as an athletic director. Muser, a 1972 Paxton High graduate, played four sports while in high school, and earning all-conference accolades in both football and basketball, while playing shortstop on a conference championship-winning baseball team and setting the school record for the half-mile run in track and field. "I hate losing," Muser told the PBL high school students before his Hall of Fame induction in September of 2024. "I'll never get used to it." Muser told the students that he learned he had a rare blood cancer at age 60. "I found out I was going to be dying real soon, and that was 10 years ago," Muser said. "Life isn't fair, but it is a gift. I am told that I'm doing so well now because of my attitude." Back on the front page, we have two stories from the March 17th primary election. Voters, yes to referendums. Paxton voters say yes to backyard chickens, but will the city council? Paxton. Now that Paxton voters have answered the question of whether they would support the establishment of rules to allow for the keeping of backyard chickens in town, the same question faces their elected aldermen. Whether the answer is again yes, like it was via a narrow margin in response to an advisory referendum appeared on the March 17th primary ballot, remains to be seen. though, and ahead of the eight-member council's first meeting since the 335 to 325 vote. Some aldermen, like Ward 2's Joe Reinhardt, said they are willing to put their personal opinion on the subject aside to see that the will of the people is fulfilled with the drafting of new regulations. While I'm personally not in favor of backyard chickens, council sent the issue to the voters to decide in good faith, knowing that if it passed, we would need to follow through on our word to work on an ordinance with reasonable restrictions, Reinhardt said. We still need to do our best to keep in mind all citizens, especially with how close the vote on the referendum was, and that's what I plan to do. Three other aldermen polled by the Ford County Chronicle expressed similar opinions, while two others, Ward 1's Eric Evans and Dean Geiken, declined immediate comment. Ward 3's Rob Pacey and Ward 2's Justin Withers did not respond. I'm all for personal freedom. Homeowners should have the ability to do things like this as long as it doesn't negatively impact their neighbors, Ward 3's Matt Greenberg said. I'm not sure on the details yet, but I'm confident the city will find a way to make this safe and beneficial for everyone involved. I believe it's important that we respect the outcome of the referendum, Ward 4's Mike Wilson said. When we ask residents for input, we have an obligation to take that input seriously. At the same time, nearly half of those who voted expressed concerns, and those concerns also deserve consideration as we move forward. My position is that I am open to allowing backyard chickens, but only if we take a thoughtful approach with clear expectations. This is about finding a solution that works for the entire community. Wilson said that if the council moves forward with drafting a backyard chickens ordinance, he plans to focus on ensuring that we put out clear, reasonable guidelines in place and that we have a practical way to enforce them, noting that issues like noise, cleanliness, and proximity to neighboring homes need to be addressed up front to protect the quality of life in Paxton. We need to be willing to revisit and adjust the ordinance if it doesn't work as intended, Wilson added. Ward 4's Kristen Larson, who has been advocating to allow for backyard chickens since even before she joined the council, said she is grateful for the voters having supported the idea too. When the window closes for ballots to be counted on March 31st, I will strongly encourage the council to take this matter and our voting residents seriously, said Larson, who first suggested allowing backyard chickens back in October 2020. This is the time for all of us to put our personal feelings and opinions on the subject aside. Although the referendum was non-binding, Larson said she feels it would be a waste of our residents' time and, frankly, insulting if we did not follow the majority of the votes and draft a new ordinance. It is important to remember that those are the same residents who elected us into office to represent their views, Larson said. It would be an insult not to follow their wishes. To restate a comment from one of my city council colleagues, this is the democratic way. Therefore, we are obligated to do what the majority of the voting residents want. If the majority of Paxton citizens feel that we should have the right to keep a few hens responsibly, I will do my best to ensure that concerns of both sides are addressed in a comprehensive ordinance, Larson continued. I firmly believe that we can all work together to craft such an ordinance. Numerous communities in the surrounding counties have been able to have and enforce chicken ordinances with few to no complaints. I'm confident that Paxton can do the same. While at least four aldermen appear open to considering allowing backyard chickens, the council would need five affirmative votes to approve the new ordinance. Both Evans and Geiken said back in July 2022 that they would be opposed to allowing backyard chickens, while a straw poll taken during the council's October 2022 meeting showed that those two, plus Pacey, were not in favor of continuing discussions. Geiken, though, was one of those who suggested the non-binding referendum last spring to resolve the ongoing debate. It would be an equitable way to see what the real support in town is for this, Kuyken said last May. It's an election. It's the democratic way. In the event of a 4-4 tie, the deciding vote would be left to Mayor Bill Ingold, who recently said he is opposed to the idea, too. Personally, down deep, I'm really against having chickens, Ingold said earlier this month. I mean, I would not want them near my home, wouldn't want them near my mom's house, anything like that. I'm really against the idea of raising livestock in Paxton. Ingold had no further comment when reached after the election. Further discussion on the topic is expected to be at the council's next monthly meeting at 7 p.m., Tuesday, April 4th, at City Hall. The meeting is open to the public. While numerous nearby communities already allow backyard chickens, they currently can only be kept in Paxton if they are at least 150 feet from any home, church, school building, or public way, according to city code, restrictions that make raising them impossible on most residential properties. If new rules to allow backyard chickens were to be drafted, likely by a city council committee, they would then be heard at a public hearing by the city's Planning and Zoning Commission before coming before the full council for a vote. Larson said the council already has a proposed backyard chickens ordinance in rough draft form. The draft includes having a pilot chicken keeping program, a permit process, inspections, a 6-to-8 hen limit, setbacks from neighbors' property lines, a non-compliance plan, an advocate to eliminate pressure on the police department, coop and run size standards and containment requirements, cleanliness restrictions, rooster prohibition, and more, Larson said earlier this month. The goal is to allow residents to keep hens for personal, non-commercial use while not affecting neighbors in a negative way. While the advisory ballot question passed by a 10-vote margin, there were still 57 mailed ballots that could potentially be counted if postmarked by Election Day and received within 14 days at the Ford County Clerk and Recorder's Office. The ballot question saw the most support in the Patton 1 precinct, where 62% of voters said yes, followed by Patton 4 with 54.6%, Patton 2, 52.7%, Patton 6, 51.22%, Patton 7, 48.3%, and Patton 5, 39.84%. Now a short item from the Ford County Historical Society. Tattered American flag donated to Ford County Historical Group. It was created by Jeff Foster, who is now making Veterans Honor Wall, Paxton. Jeff Foster recently made a three-dimensional U.S. flag and donated it to the Ford County Historical Society for display at its downtown Paxton Museum. Foster described the piece, a tattered American flag made from lumber, during the Historical Society's monthly meeting on Wednesday, March 18th, before presenting it to member Kay McCabe, much to the surprise of those in attendance. I think we caught a few off guard, Foster said. Foster, who is employed as a maintenance director at Accolade Healthcare of Paxton on Pels, said he had earlier received very positive feedback on the piece from the nursing home's residents, staff, and visitors. Foster is now in the process of making a Veterans Honor Wall for the Pell Street Nursing Home. He said Accolade Nursing Homes in Danville, Savoy, Pontiac, Peoria, and Waterloo are making Veterans Honor Walls too. We are creating a wall that honors not only our resident and staff veterans, but also the veterans in the community, Foster said. We are currently discussing several ideas that would foster involvement with veterans in each community as well. After the honor wall is complete, Foster said, He plans to invite Historical Society members to the nursing home to see it for themselves and to hear a presentation about how Accolade Healthcare became involved in the program and how the honor wall was designed and constructed, and to learn about Accolade's plans moving forward to honor veterans. Both of my grandfathers served, so this project has been near and dear to me from the onset when I was first approached by Accolade Healthcare's owner, Mo Friedman, about potentially constructing the wall at our Pell Street address, Foster said. Now we'll turn to the obituaries in the Ford County Chronicle for Wednesday, March 25th. Margaret Bargman, Piper City. Margaret L. Peg Bargman, 96, of Piper City, died Wednesday, March 18th at Prairie View Lutheran Home in Danforth. Funeral services were held Monday, March 23rd at the Life Church in Gilman with the Reverend Jim Harkins officiating. Burial followed at the Brenton Township Cemetery in Piper City. Memorials may be made to the family's wishes. Delmer L. Henrich, Onarga. Delmer L. Henrich, 85, of Onarga, died Sunday, March 14th. Funeral services were held Friday, March 20th at Our Savior Lutheran Church in Milford with the Reverend Doug Minton officiating. Burial followed in St. Paul's Lutheran Cemetery in Woodworth with military graveside rites by the Cisna Park American Legion Post number 527. Memorials may be made to Our Savior Lutheran Church in Milford or St. Paul's Lutheran Church in Woodworth. Judith J. Reitz, Gibson City. Judith Jean Judy Reitz, 82, of Gibson City, passed away at 12:05 a.m. Saturday, March 14th at Accolade Healthcare of Paxton on Pells. A memorial service was held Saturday, March 21st at the American Lutheran Church in Gibson City with Pastor Richard Likeness officiating. Memorials may be made to the Gibson Area Food Pantry or to the family. Ryan Lee Short, Gilman. Ryan Lee Short, 57, of Gilman, died Saturday, March 15th at Riverside Medical Center in Kankakee. A memorial visitation will be held from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. Saturday, March 28th at Trinity Church in Ashcombe, followed at 1 p.m. by a memorial service officiated by the Reverend Tim Tamman. Burial will be at a later date. Memorials may be made to the family's wishes. Janice J. Stalter, Gifford. Janice June Fizzle Irvin Stalter, 87, of Gifford, mother of a Gibson City resident, died at 9:15 a.m. Saturday, March 21st at Country Health Care in Gifford. Funeral services will be at 2 p.m. Saturday, March 28th at the Bear Family Funeral Services in Paxton. Burial will follow in Maplewood Cemetery in Rantoul. Visitation will be from noon to 2 p.m. Saturday, March 28th at the funeral home. Memorials may be made to an organization of the donor's choice. Leslie E. Simmons, Rankin. Leslie Earl Les Simmons, 66, of Rankin, died Thursday, March 12th in Largo, Florida, while vacationing with his wife, Debbie. Funeral services were held Monday, March 23rd at the Grace Lutheran Church in Rankin, followed by burial at the Rankin Union Cemetery. Memorial contributions may be made in his memory to Grace Lutheran Church. We return to the news on the front page with more election news. Vaughn edges Frederick for county clerk's post. Paxton. Kelsey Vaughn narrowly defeated incumbent Amy Frederick in the March 17th Republican primary to win the party's nomination for the Ford County Clerk and Recorder's post. With no Democratic challengers awaiting in November's general election, Vaughn will spend the next 8 months preparing for her new gig, which becomes official on December 1, 2026, when she is sworn in to a four-year term. According to unofficial results, Vaughn edged Frederick by a 50-vote margin, 876, 51.47%, to 48.5%. As of Election Day, there were still 249 mailed ballots that had yet to be returned to the county clerk's and recorder's office, but still could be counted if postmarked on or before March 17th, and received within 14 days of the election. Even so, Frederick, an employee of the county clerk and recorder's office for 18 years, was wrapping up her 10th year in the office's top leadership post, has conceded defeat. "It's been a great 18 years," Frederick said in a statement. "Congratulations to Kelsey." In the midst of her second year as a District 1 county board member, Vaughn has said she plans to give up that seat before she assumes the new role. Also, in upcoming months, she plans to learn more about the operations of the county clerk and recorder's office from those who know it best. "Ideally, I would like to work with Amy Frederick to figure out and learn current processes and roles within the staff, as well as working with other clerks and the State County Clerks Association to become more knowledgeable about in both the role and state statutes," Vaughn said in a statement. The 39-year-old Vaughn and 53-year-old Frederick, both of Paxton, ran a pleasant campaign throughout. After the polls closed, both thanked the public for making it out to vote. Of the county's 9,286 registered voters, 2,149, 23.14%, cast a ballot. "Thanks to the voters for their support and coming out in such cold weather," Frederick said. "Thank you to all Ford County voters," Vaughn said. "No matter who you voted for or your party affiliation, you showed up and exercised your right to vote, and that matters. I look forward to continuing to serve Ford County." Vaughn, who was elected to a four-year term on the county board last year, is employed at Paxton Family Dental and previously served on the Paxton Community Nursery School Board from 2011 to 2018, including as its secretary and president. She has also served as St. John's Lutheran School PTL Board Vice President and will soon be the board's president for the 2026-27 school year. A resident of Ford County since 1990, she graduated in 2004 from Paxton Buckley Loda High School and in 2007 from Parkland College in Champaign. In her response to a Ford County Chronicle survey in advance of the primary, Vaughn said her priorities, if elected, would be timely tax bills for Ford County, building rapport with constituents, colleagues, and citizens, accuracy in all records, accountability and dependability, and continuous growth and respect for all. And that's all the time we have for this week's reading of the Ford County Chronicle. This is Tom Scott. I look forward to reading with you again very soon.